Well, in the name of safety,
the federal government is establishing rules that prohibit teenagers from working on family farms and ranches. This leads us to ask, is government making the family farm too safe for families?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 754th edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends up there in Findhorn who are tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are, wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with our very own Miss Idaho, Nikki James on the boards.
Good morning.
Folks, in 2009, 17-year-old Cody Rigsby fell off into a Haswell, Colorado grain elevator and suffocated to death. In keeping with its oft-stated policy of never let a serious crisis go to waste, the federal government began drawing up rules to prevent teens from working on farms. The federal government's rules, which are now being placed on the table, will prevent teens from working on the farms of relatives and neighbors, from operating powered equipment, and hold on to your hat, from being around sexually mature farm animals. Now, we're not talking about laws passed by our representatives in government. We're talking about rules established by political appointees. The government says its rules will make a dangerous industry safe for teens. Farmers and ranchers, on the other hand, say the government rules are overreaching and will simply put them out of business. Folks, throughout history, farms and ranches have been family-intensive businesses, and children have always been a significant part of the labor force. Children who worked on family farms and ranches have always been placed in harm's way and thus had to learn how to manage risk when operating equipment, managing livestock, or storing grain. Children who failed to learn how to manage risk or were simply unlucky had to suffer the consequences, and a lot of them did. But those that did learn how most often grew up to be competent, skilled citizens, like Nikki James, our operator on the equipment today here. But you know, times are changing, though. The family farms and ranches of our past are being replaced by large industrial farms and ranches that rely on immigrant labor and capital-intensive equipment. Government appears to be encouraging this transformation by establishing rules and regulations so onerous they lead us to ask, is government making the family farm too safe for families? If not, how do you explain the government's incredibly onerous rules and regulations? If so, why is the government making the family farm too safe for families? For help finding some answers, we turn to Oklahoma, where the winds come sweeping down the plains. And to start us off today, we have Mark Costello, who is the Oklahoma Labor Commissioner. Mark, welcome to the Food Chain.
Michael, thank you for the invitation to be here today.
Pleasure to have you aboard. What does a labor commissioner do?
Well, the labor commissioner, every state has one, but only three states elect them. And in Oklahoma, we have, among other areas, we have wage and hour disputes, but we also have safety, pre-OSHA inspection, asbestos inspection, and we also have a provision to look out for the best economic interests of wage earners in Oklahoma. So in addition to safety, I also have an economic dog in this fight, if you will.
Well, and that's an interesting one. So you're kind of managing both sides of the coin then for the labor force, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, fair enough. So, Mark, if you were to sell me on visiting Oklahoma, what would you say?
Well, Michael, I'm a new politician, but I used to have a software company that went around the world, particularly in Europe. I would be asked a question often, why do you live in Oklahoma? And my answer was very genuinely felt when I said, why would anyone live anywhere else? I mean, a working man can afford to live there. A family can afford to raise their children without in economic freedom. And the people, I believe, are the friendliest people in the United States. So you have friendly people, you have a low cost of living, and you have a great cultural background with which to raise a family.
Well, that's a pretty good sell. Let's go to our farmer, rancher, Matt Muller. Matt, welcome to the food chain.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity to be with you.
Let's see. I think I can raise. Can you speak a little bit closer into your phone, Matt?
Yes, sir, I can.
Okay, good. Thank you very much. So you're a rancher there?
Actually, farmer, primarily row crops.
Primarily row crops. Okay, fair enough. And where are you in Oklahoma?
I'm in the southwest corner near Altus.
Okay, good. Now, you have a family operation. You have kids on the farm?
Yes, me and my wife farm full-time. We have no off-farm income, and we have four children, ages 10 through 15, that help us on the farm.
So you're the real McCoy when it comes to farming. Well, Mark, let me ask you the same question. Matt, let me ask you the same question I asked Mark. If you were to sell me on visiting Oklahoma, what would you say?
I'd have to say it's the people. We have a great diversity of people, and they have a common sense, hard work ethics, you know, even through the tough economic times across the nation because of our industrious group of people. We've had low unemployment and people that are willing to work and pull themselves up by their own bootstraps.
There you go. Real people on a real land. Let's start with the big question of the day. Is farming and ranching inherently dangerous? Mark, you're the labor commissioner. What do you think?
Well, it absolutely is inherently dangerous. But then again, I can't think of a place to learn about danger more appropriately than from your father and your grandfather and your neighbors. And it is dangerous. And the argument has been made on these new rules, and I put that almost parenthetic, that have been promulgated by Washington or the proposed rules. But you are four times more likely as a teenager to be injured on a farm compared to the rest of the workforce in the United States. But the rest of the workforce in the United States works at desks. So I don't think it's a fair comparison at all.
Well, there you go. Matt, your children, you know, you've got the federal government waving all of these facts and figures in your face saying that farming is intrinsically dangerous and that we have to protect your children from working on your farm. How do you manage that, you know, as a father, teaching your children how to work?
But I think you got the key point there is I work with them on a family farm and in a rural community. When you hire a youngster, a teenager or whatever, that's not like hiring a, you know, a 20-something-year-old that you expect to be mature and ready to hit the ground running. So you always have in mindset that you're working, you're training somebody. And so you use a lot more caution with them. And on the other hand, I think especially children that have grown up in rural America, they're eager to learn and want to, and they're more attentive than, let's say, an adult who thinks they already know anything. And as they learn, they're inherently danger cognitive and see things. And I just think working closely with them helps point that out. You know, it is dangerous, but so are swimming pools. Look at how many kids drown in a swimming pool every year. Skateboards are dangerous. There's a lot of dangerous things, but you learn to deal with it and cope with it and train them so they can avoid those dangers.
And I guess the key thing in there is supervision, where parents or grandparents or the neighbor's father is watching over the teenager and superintending what's going on there. And I would suspect, I wonder how many city kids get that supervision. Let me ask you this. Is it possible to take the danger out of farming and ranching, Mark?
Well, the cost of doing so is great. Not only the economic cost of criminalizing traditional family farm life, which is what these proposed regulations
do. What do you mean by criminalizing traditional family farm life?
Well, I mean
isn't that just? I'm stunned. What else can I say? We're criminalizing traditional family farm.
Well, if it is a tradition to go work on your uncle's farm, and that farm is incorporated, and you can no longer do so, I mean, I think we have to look at the administration from which these rules have originated. Now, this is the same administration that has spoken derisively of rural Americans in particular who cling to their guns or their religion. And this is an administration where only 8% of its chief bureaucrats have ever worked in the private sector, and I doubt if any of them have ever milked a cow.
So, there
so I believe this is. So I believe this is not only ideological, but it's also political.
Okay, Matt, can you take the danger out of your farm there for your kids? Can you make it safe? And I mean, is it possible to make life safe on a farm?
I think if you, I guess, depending on your definition of safety, I guess if you put a child in a rubber room and just handing him his food through the door, that would be safe. He would have no risk, but then he would be very safe. Having said that, I mean, in reality, farming is much safer today than it was years ago. We have enclosed cabs on most of our structures, just the way they design machines anymore, and the safety equipment on them is so much more intense, and presence operating systems that shut down when the operator leaves the station. And I think actually farming is much safer today. Having said that, it's not, you know, what is someone's definition of safe? Safe, I guess, is no risk whatsoever, and you're not going to have that. I mean, you can get a paper cut sitting at a desk.
Okay. Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Show. Michael Olson here. Today we're talking about proposed new rules from the government that will forbid teenagers from working on farms, outlawing traditional farm life. Right back.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of Metro Farm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. Metro Farm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. Metro Farm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. Metro Farm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of Metro Farm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Well, welcome back, folks. This is the Food Chain Radio program. Today we're talking about the new rules being put on the table by the federal government that will prevent teens from working on the farms of relatives and neighbors, from operating powered equipment, and hold on to your hat, from being around sexually mature farm animals. Almost incredible that these rules seem so onerous, it seems like the federal government is trying to make farms too safe for the family farmers that run them. I don't know, but that's the question on the table today, and we're going to Oklahoma to see if we can make some sense of all this. We're talking with Mark Costello, who's the Oklahoma Labor Commissioner, and Matt Muller, an Oklahoma farmer, row crop farmer. Matt, what are you farming there?
We raise primarily cotton, grain sorghum, peanuts, wheat, and hay.
Okay, so you got a number of crops. What do your kids do?
My kids involved in daily chores. They have their own set of their own commercial herd of goats and show goats that they raise. But in addition to that, they rake hay. They drive the tractor and load hay. During harvest of the grain crops, they run a grain car, drive a tractor. They help in assisting unload the trucks. In off season, we clean out grain bins. They help intensely with the irrigation. We do a lot of furrow irrigation, so they help with that. Cotton harvest, they help with the harvest around the module builders where we temporarily store the cotton on the turn rows in big compacted modules. They run the machine that compacts it and keep the cotton cleaned up, any that spills on the ground.
There's danger all over that, isn't there?
Well, yes, but let's see. We've had two broken arms among my children growing up on the farm. One fell out of his bunk bed on top, and the other one fell off the trampoline.
So there you go. Those are things that happen in the city as well. But that means you're training them to work on these pieces of equipment. So let me ask you this. What are the first chores that you give your children when they're growing up?
The first ones would be like working with their own livestock. I mean, they own their own herd, so they go out morning and evening and do their chores and assist with that. And, you know, one of the things prohibited is a lot of animal husbandry practices around livestock. Well, you know, even though they can still take care of their own, they help their grandfather take care of his cattle from time to time. They help with cleaning out equipment. We graze seed wheat, and so the combines between different varieties, we have to clean them out with the shop vac and blow them off the air hose. So they do things like that, or clean up the trucks to keep contamination. Those are the kind of things they start out doing.
So right away, they're faced with danger right off the get-go.
Yeah, I mean, you climb up in a combine, you're over 6 foot off the ground, and that's one of the new rules prohibits. So, yeah, I guess you can fall off, and, of course, you can fall out of your treehouse, too. I don't know the danger of running a shop vac, but, you know, that would be prohibited because that's power equipment. Yes, there are dangers involved.
Well, Mark Costello, as a labor commissioner, you're looking at these rules. They seem to me, at any rate, and I was raised on a farm, and I, you know, my grandfather put me on a tractor when I was six, and I'm sure he'd be thrown in jail and put in chains and fed bread and water for the rest of his life for that. But these rules seem so onerous; they seem impossible.
Well, they're onerous, and once again, it's because some distant bureaucrat is trying to run a family's behavior on a farm, as opposed to just leaving people alone, which government ought to do, or ought at least be at the local level. I think it's worth pointing out that playing in football is more dangerous than being raised on a family farm. So why don't they pass a law saying you can't play football until you're 16 or 18? Because and the real reason is you'd never learn to play football if you wait until you're 18 to put on your first helmet. And similarly, it takes, I think, three generations to make a farmer. And
why do you say that? I've never heard anybody say that.
Well, I think you look at all the farmers we have today. They didn't, wake up in the morning in the city and in midlife crisis and decide they're going to go to the farm. You have to learn this. These are transgenerational, millennium-old traditions that you have to learn. And only someone who kind of grew up in a Disneyland environment would think that farming should be subject to the same types of onerous regulations that OSHA is capable of putting out.
Well, we're going to open up the phone lines today, folks. Phone number 831-479-1080, 831-479-1080. Let's go and hear what Mary has to say. Mary, welcome to the Food Chain.
Good morning, Michael, and thank you for doing this show. Listen, this is typical of our government and governments across the world right now. They're looking at building new layers of bureaucracies in order to secure wages and garner pensions for themselves, and they really don't give a damn about what it takes to do business, let alone...
Are you saying this is not about food safety or about...
Absolutely not. It's about another layer of bureaucracy. Listen, you know what's going to be next? My daughter and my son and so on work in the yard with blowers, weed whackers, lawn mowers, and they walk their dogs, and the dogs get in dog fights. You want to know what's going to happen next? We're going to be monitored as parents about everything that happens with our kids. And it's not about the kids' safety. That has nothing to do with it. It's about taxes.
Well, thank you very much for expressing your opinions, Mary. Appreciate it.
All right.
Well, goodness, there was some intensity of feelings there. What about you, Matt, as a family farmer, when you hear that the government is putting all of these new rules on the table? They're so incredibly onerous that you'll have to have an attorney.
Well, it's very disheartening because I think the biggest losers, even though they claim to be protecting children, I think it's these young people that are actually missing out. The opportunity to learn work ethics, to be out in the environment, learn about environmental life cycles and responsibility and maturing. You know, we matured our kids at a pretty young age when we were largely an agrarian society. We had kids ready to go to World War II, at age 18. that obviously, you know, took it on and could do it.
Can you stop right there? I'd like to throw to reinforce what you just said. I recently wrote an oral history of a World War II Navy destroyer, and in talking with one of the officers on this ship, the question came to my mind: where do you get the best sailors? And without the slightest hesitation, he said, from the heartland, from those farm boys on the heartland. You give me those farm boys any day to those city boys, and I'll make a fighting ship out of anything. And it was just, he was so full of conviction with respect to what you just said, is that when you put your children to work on your farm, they're learning much more.
Well, let me follow up to that. My dad has an employee, Hispanic worker, that's worked with him for 25 years. His son, when he was 12 years old, started tagging out in the summertime out of school with his dad, and so I offered him to work for me. I was about 20 at the time. I offered Junior. I said, hey, your dad's working for my dad. How would you like to work with me helping irrigate? And so he worked for me for 6 years, starting when he was about 12 years old. He ended up driving tractors and running a combine and grain cart. When he was 18, he enlisted and joined the Marines. In his line of training, the first thing he did when they found out he had a farming background, they put him as a heavy equipment operator running bulldozers and landmine clearing equipment when he went over to Iraq. So, I mean, what he learned on that farm gave him a life skill set that he immediately was able to use when he joined the military.
And I sometimes think of that myself, when my grandfather put me up on top of that tractor. And give me the opportunity to drive that tractor. I think that stayed with me all my life. And I've always been adept at machinery because of that. And I think of the gift my grandfather gave me by plunking me down up on top of that giant tractor and said, son, I'll meet you at the other end of the field. Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio program. We're talking about teenagers working on farms and how the government is making rules so onerous it's going to be impossible to work for them to work on farms. The government says they're doing it for food, for the safety of the teenagers. If you believe that, I would love to hear it from you. Pick up your phones today and call us. We're at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. I would love to hear how you believe the government is doing this for the safety of teenagers right back. Well, folks, the federal government wants to make life safe for our teenagers, and so is passing rules and regulations. Now, these are not laws being passed by our representatives to government. These are rules being made up by political appointees. And the rules are telling teenagers that they may not work on the farms of relatives and neighbors, they may not operate powered equipment, and they may not hang around sexually mature farm animals. So if you believe the federal government is doing it for the safety of teenagers, I'd love to hear from you. Please pick up your phone and call us. We're at 831-479-1080. 831-479-1080. And when I say we, I'm talking about yours truly, Michael Olson, and Mark Costello, Oklahoma Labor Commissioner, Matt Muller, who's a family farmer in Oklahoma. And so I've got to ask Mark. Mark, are these rules being, do you think that this is all about making life safe for teenagers?
No. Look, bureaucrats have to justify their existence. But they come up with 20,000 new regulations every single year. And nobody has the time to read them, much less to obey them. And many of those regulations, the intended effect, whatever it was, ends up making people into criminals unknowingly. And I think that these particular regulations should not even be considered, much less promulgated. And I think that I would much, much rather defer to the authority of a parent than to some distant bureaucrat. And so I think that this is both political and ideological. If you look at a map of the United States of the counties that did not vote for the incumbent administration, It's almost the entire United States, except for the metropolitan areas. So for them to have this administration to have a prejudice, a bias against rural life is not surprising, considering that rural America did not vote for this administration.
Well, Matt Mueller, let me ask you this. You're the farmer. Do you think the government is, the bureaucrats in the government are doing this to protect your children? I mean, is this about safety of teenagers?
I think in their preconceived world it might be. I do think Mark has a point that these are people that have jobs and they think they got to do something in their jobs. These rules have not been reviewed in 40 years, so they think, well, then we got to write some new ones. And they sit down in the world they're used to in concrete city sidewalks and think, well, what would be dangerous out on a farm? And they write this list of rules, not knowing the effects. And I think it's part of the nanny state bureaucracy we have, that we always have to be looking out for everyone else because no one can take care of themselves or their own families.
Let me challenge you a little bit, Matt. Do you think it's to get rid of the family farm?
I don't think that is a stated purpose. However, I do think that it will be an unintended consequence because, if you're a large multi-county, multi-state farming, many tens of thousands of acres, you're not going to be out there training a bunch of 14-year-olds to do labor because they're cheap. That's not what you're going to be looking at hiring. These rules are only going to affect your smaller type farms who want to hire the neighbor kid or the ones they go to church with, ask for a summer job. They want to work on a smaller scale farm. That's who it's going to impact. So it is going to devastate family farms, your smaller farms. I don't think it'll have any impact, on your larger farms because they don't, utilize the labor to that degree. Now, there are some instances like some corn seed companies will use a lot of youth during the summers to detassel corn and do things like that because it's very time critical.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is, a lot of these youth will do seasonal type jobs when they're on their vacations this summer. And a farmer being able to employ someone seasonal like that is a real benefit because it's hard to go find an adult who wants a 1 month job or something like that.
Right.
Someone illegal anyway. So that gets into the illegal worker problems we have already. I think it would further complicate that matter.
Mark Costello, same question to you. Is this being done to get rid of the family farm?
I don't believe it's being done to rid America of the family farm, but I do believe it portrays a kind of a condescension that only the Ivy League type people could have. I mean, they don't know about the family farm. They don't even know about private enterprise. So in their mind, they have to come up with some new regulations. Now, I want to make a small point. Our offices in Oklahoma City are next to Section 8 housing. And it's barely a week goes by where there's not an ambulance showing up or the police. It's far more dangerous for a teenager in America to grow up in government housing than it is to grow up on the family farm.
Wow.
But yet they, they want to emphasize something which, once again, I don't know a parent on a farm or in a city or anywhere else that doesn't have the welfare of their child at the tantamount top of their mind awareness. And so once again, let's just push back and say no. And I want to point out something very positive that happened this past week. The National Labor Relations Board had considered a condemnation of Boeing because they wanted to move part of their manufacturing facilities to South Carolina. Well, the hue and cry around the United States saying you're really violating constitutional privileges of a state to have right to work. And so after the cry from around the United States, the NLRB backed down and is not going to try to interfere with the right of Boeing to conduct business. And I believe it's important that rural Americans or anyone concerned with the overreaching of these bureaucrats should speak to their elected representatives and say, look, this is not the intended purpose of the state to interfere at the family farm at this level.
Well, let's see what our listeners have to say. I'm really interested to see if any of our listeners think this is about food safety. So let's go to Jerry. Are you there, Jerry?
I am, thanks.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I gotcha.
I'm curious about the administration of these rules. So who's coming out to this gentleman's farm, and how often? And then how are they penalizing him? Are they taking his tractors away, taking his kids away, putting them in social service, you know, foster homes? What kind of happened to this poor man?
That's a great question. I'm going to put this on the air because we have a kind of a fuzzy connection there. Let's ask Matt Mueller. Matt, the government's making these rules, and what are they going to do? Have a police force or something to come out to your farm? And if you hire the neighbor kid, you're going to be, what are they going to do, throw you in jail?
I don't know the consequences, to be honest with you. I don't know. I know what the proposed rules are. I know if we break them or we're in violation, but I don't know the consequences of it, the penalty of it. I don't know if it's monetary, civil fines. I don't know if it's criminal. I don't know. I don't really want to find out, but to be honest with you, you know, when my dad, who's getting up in age and needs help on the farm, if my kids want to go over to help him, they're going to go help him.
And if they do, they're going to be breaking the rules if these rules go through. And
and
they'll be criminals, and your father will be criminals, and everybody will be criminals, and we won't be able to live happily ever after. But we will be back after this break to go back to the phones. We have a bunch of people on the lines, 831-479-1080, 831-479-1080. Do you folks out there think this is all about the safety of teenagers? I'd really like to hear from you if you believe that. I'd love to hear from you. 831-479-1080. Pick up your phone and join us. Mark Costello, Oklahoma Labor Commissioner, Matt Mueller, Oklahoma Farmer, Michael Olson, and you right back. Well, folks, the government wants to make life safe for our teenagers, and so are promulgating rules and regulations that are so onerous they lead us to ask, is government making the family farm too safe for families? And doing so by making these rules and regulations against teenagers working on the farm? And so I get down to this very bottom line question that I want to ask Farmer Matt Mueller from Oklahoma. Matt, can your family farm survive without your family labor?
I can survive this generation, but I think long term it is going to discourage my children from wanting to pursue a career in agriculture. That's what long term is where I see the effects coming in, just like a slow burn of disenfranchising rural youth from wanting to go into agriculture because they were denied opportunities at an early age to get involved and start learning about it, and then their interests were taken away as they grew up by other lures. So I think it's a long term effect. Short term, it will be minimum. Long term, I think it'll be devastating.
Mark Costello, Labor Commissioner, what do you think?
Well, I think that it's obviously going to impact jobs in rural America. I mean, this regulation would hurt not only agribusiness because it would deny willing employees. It would hurt youth from getting decent jobs, well-paying jobs, and it would hurt the family farm because, once again, you learn about agriculture from being around it. And I think that the intended the net result of this would hurt traditional family farm life as well as hurt economic development in rural areas.
Okay, let's go to the phones and let's talk with Teresa. Teresa, what do you think? Do you think that this is all about safety of teenagers?
Hello, Michael. This is Teresa.
Teresa.
And I can prove why this isn't about the safety of teenagers.
Fire.
If it were, before we would forbid teenagers from working for the people who care about them the most, we would make it illegal to import the products of child labor that were being made under the most onerous and horrible conditions imaginable, which means that we wouldn't be selling chocolate in our schools that's being harvested by child slaves in the Ivory Coast. We wouldn't be running our school buses on tires made by Firestone in the Liberia plantation. And we wouldn't be having clothes made with cotton that's picked by children in Uzbekistan who are taken out of school for 4 months to work in the fields. We also would have a lot less food, including blueberries from Maine, and all the immigrant teenagers for working without any protection in fields that are being fumigated.
Well, let me ask you this, Teresa. If it's not about safety, what is it about?
I think you and I both know. I mean, it's about reducing the competition for the agribusiness.
There you go. Thank you very much, Teresa.
Thank you.
Teresa puts it right on the line. Let's. Well, what do you think, Matt? Is it about reducing your competition, making it easier for somebody else?
I think that's an unintended consequence. I think she has a valid point. You know, and child labor is definitely abused in other parts of the world. It's near slavery type conditions, and then at the same time, we want to prohibit, you know, kids from America, you know, going out and driving a tractor around in a field at 3 miles an hour because we think that's too dangerous for them. So I think it's way overstepping, and they have no idea the consequences of what they're about to do.
Brad, what do you think? Are you on the line, Brad?
Yeah, I'm on here. I grew up in Salinas Valley, and with a family deal going when we were kids, and my cousins and I worked on this place since I was 10 years old. And everybody learned to haul hay, work around a bunch of cows, farm, everything. And this is local. This isn't, you know, across the nation. This is local. And currently, right now, I'm sitting in the car waiting to got my 14-year-old grandson to help me. He's working for me. This is all a bunch of BS. This is just guys to justify their job. They're making up rules to justify their jobs. And they don't care anything about what's going on. They want the food imported. And it's just ridiculous. I mean, I like I said, I grew up here. Everybody I know around me grew up on these places. And as far as they said the sexually mature animals, I guess that just cans every 4-H and FFA kid that from having a project of raising breeding animals.
Mark Costello, Labor Commissioner, what in the heck is that all about, this preventing kids from working with animals? What's going on there?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think your radio program originates from California, and apparently a referendum in California mandated more leg room for chickens in the coop. So that seems rather micromanaging these things, but I have to honestly believe that these regulations are ill-conceived. If we want greater safety, let's go to the state level. Let's go to the county level. Let's go to those who are most greatly impacted, because the cost of safety at this level is, once again, too high. It impacts...
Well, then we get back to the question. By raising the cost to a point where nobody can afford to do it, aren't we not just getting rid of the family farms?
Well, as Matt said earlier, indirectly, that is the net result, is that it will impact negatively the family farm life to the point to where there'll be fewer of them and they will have less impact.
Well, you know, when we get back, I want to ask both of you the big question in my mind. What happens to our children when we don't allow them to face the dangers and the uncertainties of life, when we don't allow them to run a truck into the ditch and learn that you can pull the truck out, and when we don't allow them to learn that when the hay baler jams up, you can unjam it, when we don't give them the opportunity to face life, what happens to them? Right back. Well, you know, there is joy in working. There is joy in overcoming obstacles. There's joy in successfully managing danger. There's joy in accomplishing something difficult and seeing the accomplishment right there in front of you. Many of us experienced this joy working on farms and ranches of our nation in growing up when we were young. And yet the federal government is going to take that joy from us by making life safe for teenagers, by preventing them from working on their farms and ranches of their friends and relatives and neighbors, by preventing them from working with powered equipment, by preventing them from working with farm animals. What is going to happen to us when we're no longer able to experience this joy. Matt Muller, you're a family farmer. You have children on the farms. You see the result of this joy in your children. What is going to happen to our children when they're not allowed this experience?
I think when you deprive them of the opportunity to see the fruits of their labor, you'll get the result of what we're seeing in America a lot. You'll end up with a bunch of 22-year-old people who are not grown up, not mature. They don't know what it means to show up on time for a job, to put in 8 or 10 hours worth of work, and then be satisfied with the paycheck they get. Instead, you'll end up with a lot of immature adults who have nothing better to do than to sit in city parks and demonstrate about things because they don't know what it is to work.
Mark Costello, Labor Commissioner.
You know, Michael, I believe work affords its own dignity. And the opportunity to work has been denied, or is by regulation, to a lot of Americans. Half of all African-American males between 18 and 25 are not in the workforce. And if you're not in the workforce in those formative years, it's like never picking up a basketball until you're 20 years of age. You'll never be good at basketball. And I agree with Matt absolutely that the dignity that comes from work would be denied to our rural youth, just like nanny state regulations have hurt our urban youth.
And there we are. Let's go to our phones and see what Tony has to say. Tony, what's going to happen when our youth are no longer allowed the privilege of work?
Well, Michael, I'd like to ask your guests, do they know who fed these elected officials this information? Where did they get?
They're not elected. They're not elected officials.
Well,
they're bureaucrats.
Where did the bureaucrats get the information from to be able to create this kind of a rule? In other words, who did they talk to, or who talked to them and their staff to give them this kind of information so that they can make these stupid rules?
I don't know. Mark?
Well, it's been the trend for almost certainly a generation that bureaucrats have made more and more regulations that they have been given that authority indirectly by Congress, and that's the next step that needs to happen if these onerous rules go into effect. And they won't if our elected representatives have enough hue and cry from the rest of us. But if they do, then we need to work with our congressmen and our senators to have these reversed, because that's the only way you overrule a bureaucrat in Washington.
Well, really quickly, Dave, you have a couple seconds. Go ahead.
Yes, hi, Michael. I've been listening about 40 minutes, but I don't think anybody's mentioned anything about unions. That I think this has a lot to do with unions. If they can get rid of the labor force of families, then the people are forced to hire union members in the UFW.
Okay, good. Thank you very much for that comment, folks. This has been The Food Chain. We've been talking about what happens when we take our children off the farm with Mark Costello, Oklahoma Labor Commissioner, Matt Muller, Oklahoma Farmer. Thank you both for joining us. And what do you think out there? Is the government making farming, the family farm, too safe for farmers? Join us with your comments on the forums at metrofarm.com. And remember, cheap food isn't. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.